Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
We live in a world that constantly tells us to go faster, push harder, do more. We track our steps, our heart rate, our reps, we quantify everything. But what if the most profound change to our well-being isn't found in another metric, but in the quality of our attention while we move?
That's the question we're diving into today. We're talking about something called mindful movement, this beautiful, powerful intersection of physical exercise and mental presence. It's a topic I'm personally fascinated by it.
Me too, and for very different reasons, I think. For years, my approach to exercise was all about intensity. It was a battle. Me against the workout. It wasn't until I hit a wall, a real burnout, that I realized I was completely disconnected from my own body. I was exercising, but I wasn't inhabiting the experience at all.
See, and for me, it was the opposite. I tried traditional seated meditation for so long. I read the books, I downloaded the apps, but the stillness felt like a cage. My mind would just race. It was discovering practices like yoga and tai chi that finally unlocked it for me. Realizing that I could find that quiet center through movement, that was a revelation.
Exactly. It's this idea that your body isn't just a vehicle to be trained, but a source of wisdom. And that's what we want to explore. We're going to get into the science of how combining mindfulness and movement can literally change your brain and your nervous system. We'll look at the ancient practices that have known this for centuries, and we'll break down simple, practical ways you can bring this quality of attention to any activity, whether it's a dedicated yoga class or just walking to the corner store.
We've got some incredible experts joining us later, and stories from people who have completely transformed their relationship with themselves through this practice. So, whether you're a seasoned athlete, a dedicated yogi, or someone who just feels a little disconnected, stay with us. This conversation might just change the way you move through the world.
And that phrase you used, the way you move through the world, is so perfect. Because it's not just about the 45 minutes you're on a yoga mat or out for a run. It's about what that practice does to your nervous system for the other 23 hours of the day. It's a fundamental reset.
A reset? Yeah. I mean, we all know that feeling after a really punishing workout, right? You're exhausted, but also wired, almost agitated. Is that what you're talking about? That kind of jangly energy?
That is precisely it. That jangly energy is your sympathetic nervous system, your fight-or-flight response, still firing on all cylinders. You've flooded your body with cortisol and adrenaline. And from a survival standpoint, that's great if you're, you know, actually running from a tiger.
But not so great if you're just trying to answer emails after a spin class.
Right. You've essentially trained your body that movement equals emergency. But when you introduce mindfulness, when you intentionally bring your attention to the sensation of the movement, the feeling of your feet on the ground, the rhythm of your breath, the stretch in a muscle, you're sending a completely different signal.
What's the signal? That you're safe?
Exactly that. You're signaling safety. You're telling your brain, hey, we are in control here. There's no threat. You can stand down. And that allows the other part of your nervous system, the parasympathetic, your rest and digest system, to finally take the wheel.
And you can literally feel that shift happening. It's a warmth, a sense of settling. For me, in a yoga class, it's that moment when I stop thinking about whether my form is perfect and I just feel the stretch. The tension doesn't just release from the muscle. It feels like it releases from my whole being.
That's because it is. You're down-regulating. The sciencey term for what you're describing is improving your interoception.
Intero. Say that again.
Interoception. It's essentially your eighth sense. It's your ability to feel and interpret the internal signals of your body. Hunger, thirst, your heartbeat, and also those more subtle feelings of tension or ease.
So, most of us are just numb to that. We're walking around not really listening to what our bodies are telling us, until it's screaming in the form of an injury or burnout.
I think so. We override the signals. We think, I have to finish this mile, even when our knee is whispering, hey, maybe not. Mindful movement retrains that listening skill. It makes that inner landscape, which for many people is just a vague, foggy territory, come into high definition.
And when you can see it clearly, you can navigate it. You can respond to the whisper instead of waiting for the scream. That makes so much sense of why my old approach to fitness just felt like a constant, low-grade war with myself.
And that war is, it's a really common experience. Because we've been taught to treat our bodies like an adversary in fitness. Something to be conquered. The mantra is, mind over matter, right? Which really means, let your prefrontal cortex bully your body into submission.
Yeah, exactly. Bully is the right word. My inner monologue during a tough run used to be, well, it was not kind. It was a drill sergeant. Don't stop now. You're weak if you stop.
Of course. But what if that drill sergeant is just a miscalibrated threat detector? It's the same part of your brain that says, don't touch the hot stove. It's just learned through repetition that the sensation of a high heart rate or burning muscles is a threat to be pushed through at all costs.
Okay, but hang on. There's a part of me that's still skeptical, because sometimes you do have to push through. If I stopped every time I felt uncomfortable during a workout, I'd never get stronger. Isn't that the point of training? To move past your comfort zone?
Ah, but that's the crucial distinction. It's not about avoiding discomfort. It's about learning the language of your discomfort. There's a world of difference between the sensation of a muscle working hard, that deep, productive burn, and the sharp, nervy twinge of a joint that's being pushed toward injury.
The whisper versus the scream, again.
It's precisely that. Mindful movement gives you the quiet and the focus to actually hear the whisper. Before, you might have drowned it out with a louder playlist or that inner drill sergeant. Now you can pause and ask, okay, what is this specific sensation? Is it the fire of effort, or is it a warning light?
That requires a level of honesty with yourself that I think a lot of us aren't used to. It's easier to just follow the plan to hit the numbers on the watch than to check in and admit, you know what? Today is not a day for a personal best. Today is a day for a gentle jog.
It's a complete paradigm shift. We're moving from a goal-oriented approach to a process-oriented one. And the irony is, when you start honoring the process, the goals often take care of themselves, and more sustainably.
Because you're not constantly sidelining yourself with injuries born from ignoring the signals.
That's a huge part of it, but it's also about energy expenditure. Think about how much energy it takes to maintain that internal war, to have that drill sergeant yelling in your head while your body is trying to send you feedback. It's exhausting.
Oh, wow. I never thought of it that way. You're fighting a battle on two fronts, the physical workout and your own internal resistance to it.
When you stop fighting yourself, all of that energy becomes available for the movement itself. You become more efficient. Your form might improve because you can actually feel when your alignment is off. You breathe deeper. It changes the entire chemical and energetic equation of the activity.
So, the goal isn't just to complete the run, but to inhabit the run. And by doing that, you're not just training your cardiovascular system. You're training this profound skill of self-attunement.
And that trust, that is the whole thing, isn't it? It's the foundation. Because when you trust that your body is sending you accurate information, you stop treating it like an adversary. It becomes your most reliable partner, not just in a workout, but in, well, in life.
It changes how you navigate everything. Suddenly, that tightness in your chest before a big meeting isn't just anxiety to be ignored. It's a signal. That knot in your stomach isn't just indigestion. It's your body saying, hey, pay attention here.
You start to live in a more responsive, less reactive way. And that, I think, is the ultimate promise of this practice. We start by paying attention to a single footstep, and we end up learning how to navigate our entire existence with more grace and wisdom.
It's profound, really. Thinking back to where we started this conversation, with the idea of being at war with ourselves, this whole approach it's a peace treaty. But I do have one lingering thought. What about the days it just feels impossible? The days where the mind is just a hornet's nest, and no amount of focusing on your breath is going to quiet it.
Ah, yes. The bad days. They happen. And I think the mindful approach to that is the most radical part. It's to notice the hornet's nest without judgment. To say, wow, my mind is really loud today. And that's it. You don't have to fix it. Maybe on that day, the practice isn't about finding stillness, but about simply acknowledging the storm.
So even the failure to be mindful becomes a mindful act.
If you can notice it with compassion, yes. The goal isn't to achieve a perfect Zen-like state every time. The goal is to show up and be present with whatever is actually there. Some days it's peace. Other days it's a hornet's nest.
That's such a relief to hear, honestly. It takes the pressure off. For me, I think the biggest takeaway from all of this is the idea of retiring that inner drill sergeant, realizing that I can get stronger, fitter, and healthier through partnership rather than bullying. That changes everything.
And for me, it always comes back to that science. That idea of interoception, the fact that we can, with practice, literally turn up the volume on our body's internal signals and change our brain structure, it's just staggering. It's not just a nice idea. It's a biological upgrade we can give ourselves.
A biological upgrade through walking and breathing. It's so simple, yet so powerful. I guess if there's one thing we hope people take from this conversation, it's an invitation.
Just an invitation. The next time you walk somewhere, to your car, to the kitchen, just for 10 seconds, try to feel the soles of your feet on the floor. That's it. That's the beginning of the entire journey.
The entire journey, starting with a single step. It seems we've come full circle. Well, this has been an incredible conversation. Thank you, as always, for the insights.
And thank you. It's always a pleasure to explore this with you.
And to everyone listening, thank you for sharing your time and your attention with us. We hope this conversation helps you move through your world with a little more presence, a little more kindness toward yourself. Be well, and we'll talk to you next time.